Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech Talk underway on a Saturday. Steve Thompson here, Doug Swindhart, and our producer, Josh Wheeler. And if you want to visit with Doug, it really is all about you. If you have a computer problem, hardware, software, whatever, get a hold of us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And the number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. That's why we do this show every week, is for you to be able to visit with Doug. If you're having, once again, a problem with the computer, hardware, software, whatever, if you're thinking about new, and Doug, right out of the gate, I hope you're well. I wanted to bring up something we visit about time to time, particularly in the spring with storms, etc., and that is uninterruptible power supplies, or a UPS. There's a lot of brands. It's typically a battery backup. Now, some of these are very robust, where you can, you know, run your machine, run your computer, run your router, run your printer for hours and hours, or it can just allow you to make sure you don't lose any data and you can do a normal shutdown, if you will, and it keeps clean power running through your equipment. And it's not just computers. It could be, you know, that big screen TV in the living room or family room. It is definitely designed to protect sensitive equipment. And your thoughts on this, I know for a laptop, you're kind of at the mercy. But the thing about a laptop is if you lose power, you've got battery backup. I almost think it's mandatory if you have a desktop. If you have a desktop, I can't imagine running that without a UPS.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You know, there's certain things that we just strongly recommend, and this is one of them. And in fact, American Power Supply, APCC, they have smart ups. And if you're running a Windows machine, the software will actually shut your computer down just like you were sitting there clicking on the icons. And it's just an absolute must. I've got one on my TV. I've got one on our refrigerator. That's an expensive appliance, you know. And I think that as our electrical grid becomes more and more taxed, we're not really dealing with surges so much anymore. We're dealing with brownouts, things that you can't see. And that's actually more harmful to a computer, or any digital equipment for that matter, than surges. And you're right. Laptops, we don't really concern ourselves with too much, because the AC adapter is actually sort of a battery backup, because you got the battery inside the computer as well, controlling the voltage. But a desktop, and especially a big screen TV, you paid maybe $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $10,000 for that TV. I can almost guarantee you are going to add 4 to 5 times the life for that particular device with a uninterruptible power supply battery backup. And they're worth their weight in gold. Now, they're running about the same price. I just did a quick check on Amazon, and for less than $200, you can get a really top shelf 1500 VA, which would allow you to run your computer, routers, whole thing, probably about a half an hour. All the power was gone. And several models that are in there, but I really like APC. They've got the battery exchange if you ever need one. They send you a new battery, and they're competitively priced. And you put the old one in the container and ship it back, so you don't have to worry about disposing of it. Yeah, this really is the answer. And I think people should really take the time and learn about them and invest in a UPS battery backup. And if you can afford it, get a smart UPS. We can't recommend that strong enough, Steve. We really can't.
Yeah, and once again, I'm going to jump back to something very simple. If you have a desktop, like I have an iMac, and we have desktops in the house, it is really important, I think, on those machines. Now, once again, obviously, if you're doing critical work or it's critical at your work, I'm sure they're already providing that. But even at home, I think with the desktop, it is really a good idea because I'll get back laptops, Chromebooks, etc., have that battery, and that's kind of the buffer for those shutdowns. And that's what you don't want. You don't want that instantaneous drop in power or, as you pointed out, the brownout. So great points. By the way, we have a caller, and you're welcome to join us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. And the number is 651-461-9226. Text come right into the studio. If you call, you visit with our producer, Josh Wheeler. And we start with Diane in Roseville. Diane, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi. Say, I have a Canon printer. It's not an expensive one, but it's all I wanted. I wanted a small profile machine, and I wanted it to be wireless. So, you know, print a menu. I'm just a simple computer person. All of a sudden, it started. It only prints the bottom writing on the page.
That's bizarre. And no matter what you do with the software, you got to figure out. You might have to go online and get a manual, but you need to factory reset this thing. Seriously, take it right back to factory. That probably will clean it up. You'll have to retrain your Wi-Fi, which I'm sure you got the password for. Pretty simple procedure. Start there. If that doesn't do it, you got something going on possibly in your computer, but that's so highly unlikely. And this is printing everything, right? Word documents, PDFs, everything. Is that correct?
When I copy something, it comes out, but it's only in the wireless printing.
Wow!
Oh yeah, this is strange. You got an anomaly. If going back to factory reset on that printer, if that doesn't do it, give me a call next week and I'll see what I can do for you. That's bizarre.
All right, very good call. That is unusual, Doug. I thought of this during the call and I was wondering, is it worth it to do an uninstall and reinstall the printer?
Oh, sure. If you're going to do a factory reset, I would take out the software first and then do a factory reset on the printer. It should have a series of buttons that you push to do that factory reset in the menu system. So this is but something is really, really, something's gone bad. It almost feels like it's got a different driver than it's supposed to have. And that can happen as well. If she got a Windows update that'd give her a printer driver and it wasn't for a Canon, that would throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. But see, she's copying too. So I think it's fixable. I really do. It's just a question of finding out what has gone on. What's the anomaly? What's taken place? And I would just go right back to a factory reset after you check your updates in Windows and go from there. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, that is very unusual, and I deal with printers a fair amount at home and at work, and that is unusual when it's formatted that way. I'm wondering if it's a little bit deeper in the print settings that something got haywire there about the sizing, etc. That's tricky. If she's played around with it. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email if you want to reach out to Doug during the week. By all means, we'll do that at the end of the program today. We're going to break right now. We're going to come back. We'll go to the text line, and we will tell you that we've got some good stuff lined up, and we're going to talk about Amazon Fire HD Kindle. Can you do a computer jailbreak on that? We'll get Doug's thoughts on how you can do that computer jailbreak on devices and what's recommended. And then, by the way, we're going to talk about updates on your Chrome browser and Android phones. And we'll get into that with Doug coming up. By the way, our number on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Here on a Saturday at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Later today, college football final. We'll have scores and game reports from around the area and around the country. Not the greatest news today for the Golden Gopher football team. They got beat in Piscataway, New Jersey by Rutgers today. The final 26-19. Once again, all the scores, game reports coming up later on in college football final. We continue with Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart in for the entire hour. And always great to visit with Doug, and you can join us at 651-461-9226. Doug, a lot of devices are locked, if you will, and there's a term called a computer jailbreak, where you can kind of open it up and do what you want. And this is particularly true with smartphones and tablets. Someone asked about Amazon Fire HD Kindle. And I would assume they want to open it up for apps and other things they want to do. In your opinion, good idea, bad idea? Because there's a lot of how-tos floating around out there.
Yeah, this is one area, Steve, where I would strongly discourage this. Last resort, and something better be radically wrong with that phone or digital device or Kindle. And you're right, there's a lot of advice on the internet. You got to do some serious research and make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, especially with a Kindle. You can't have any stray .bin files hanging around in there. And I understand why people want to do this. But if you do it, you have to go into it with the open mind that you may destroy your equipment. You really might. And that there's a high degree of probability that something could go wrong during the jailbreak process. You missed a step. It didn't pick up the new firmware properly. And now you got a device where you can't boot it. You can't turn it on. It's dead. You'll brick it. And that's the other term. You don't want a machine that's been bricked. Now, I've had people request that I do this, and I give them this very same speech. If you want me to do this, I will do the very best I can, but I cannot guarantee any results. I think over all the years, I probably was successful 75-80% of the time. So keep that in mind. And I might spend 2-3 days in my spare time researching, because you're going to find all kinds of, you do this, do this, do this, and a piece of cake. Not quite that simple.
Yeah.
You have to have the exact model, the serial number, the software that you've added, you might have to take off first. And I've actually even gotten into some of these instructions. You'll love this, Steve. And as I'm going through the jailbreak process, everything turns Chinese. Well, that's pretty difficult to follow if you don't know the language, right?
Yeah. Well, and Doug, it all gets back to the goal must be wanting to use other apps, et cetera, that are locked out of that specific device. And
yep.
My thought is this. If you have a specific need or are looking for a computer or a tablet or some sort of other thing that is more open, if you will, I would assume that is available. Once you start fooling around with this stuff, it get back to the old, you're opening a can of worms is what you're doing.
Oh, you bet. Oh, yeah. No doubt. And people, they shouldn't be restricting my equipment. Well, you know, a lot of times it's for our own benefit.
Yeah.
If there's got some restrictions in there that's going to keep you from actually doing something that's going to open up your whole network to malware and viruses and God knows what, yeah, it's good that that's there. And when they put this equipment together, they're dealing with the general public and have no idea the level of expertise that this individual who buys that piece of equipment is living with. So it's important that there are several lockdowns. There's no question about it. But if you're going to jailbreak it, take your time. Probably one of the easiest to jailbreak would be an Android phone. And there you want to make sure that you are dealing with something that is working with the identical operating system that you have, the right versions, the right equipment, and you'll probably be okay. Same with the iPhone, but the iPhone's going to take longer and be more difficult to do. No question in my mind about that. In addition to that, as soon as you do that to an iPhone, I can almost guarantee your updates will stop. There's trade-offs here. There really is. So I would use some caution. And a better idea is, if you want to do some of these things that you can't do on your device, pick up an old used computer, load it up, get Linux installed, and see if you can accomplish it that way. I bet you can.
Yeah. Doug, another topic from our text line. By the way, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Good for all our programs. 7 days a week are many of our programs. All the live and local stuff, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. A week ago, we talked about how to update the Chrome browser on a computer and making sure that your browsers are indeed updated. Many times, it's handled automatically. What about Android smartphones? I would assume that is built into the phone to keep those browsers updated.
Yes, as long as underneath your settings, you've got automatically update. And you do want that turned on, whether it's an iPhone or an Android or possibly even the new phones that Elon Musk is going to be coming out with, the Linux. Updating your system, your operating system, and each individual application or software that's installed has become critically important. Critically important. And yes, especially browsers, because browsers, you're linking right straight to the internet. And with a Chrome browser, if you start it up, it's going to whine and complain that you're out of date, first of all. Even if you got your update shut off, it's going to do that. They all will do that. They know that guys that are creating these things, the people who are actually programming the browsers, they are very much aware of the importance of this. And everyone that I know of will automatically update or attempt to update or at least check your version the instant you open it up to run it. So that's a good thing. It is very important to keep your browsers up to date.
Tech Talk, Doug Swindhart aboard through 4 o'clock today. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Firearms deer season opener today. We'll get an update on that, and he has good things to say about the fall bite as well. That's coming up following the news and weather at 4. Doug, here's a good one, and I think we can tackle this before the break. Why are there so many detractors of Windows 11? What are your thoughts on that? You and I have argued for a long, long time that even when they decided not to support Windows XP, why can't it just be Windows and they provide updates and so on and so forth? Why is it always a new operating system every couple of years? But back to Windows 11, what are your thoughts on it at this point?
Well, yeah, Microsoft got together with the hardware industry and said, you know, we'll take care of your drivers. And putting restrictions on an operating system as you have to have new equipment, this really upset a lot of people. And it started in 10, but it jumped ahead light years in 11. And everybody knows that there's somebody out there that's going to crack that. And they have many times. So you can still bypass. It just takes a lot of work. And I just don't see the purpose of Microsoft doing this. And in fact, in 2024, earlier this year, and I don't know if it was available in the United States, but Reborn XP came out. The legacy. It looks, feels, runs great. I think that Microsoft should open that up worldwide if it isn't. I read about it a little bit, and I've yet to find a place where I can actually download a Reborn XP. And that's what they call it. There's Reborn. And another thing with 11 is the invasiveness of Copilot. And there's another process that they came up with, too. It's a callback, I think it is. But every keystroke you make is being saved up in the cloud. Microsoft says that's for your security in case anything happens to your computer. I say they're just sucking the internet resources right out of the air, and I just don't see it. You back up once a day or twice a day or four times a day. If you do it and get it over with, free up those resources, your internet's going to run a lot better. I just don't understand why Microsoft needs to be this controlling. They really don't.
Well,
it's time we start playing a little bit nicer in the sandbox.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Once upon a time, it was, you know, the next step in operating systems. It required a new computer, and computers used to be very, very expensive. I mean, compared to where they are today. But I think that idea that as they develop new operating systems, oh, by the way, your old machine won't run it. We talk over and over on this show, if you have an older computer, and there are options. You don't have to be married to a Mac or a Windows machine. There are other options to keep you online doing what you need to do on a computer. And some of these older computers, you've talked about it, 15-year-old Macs, they're still running. And are still good machines. There's no reason to throw this stuff in the recycle pile.
Well, and another thing that's happening that really disturbs me is in today's marketing, there's an awful lot of puffery happening in the sale of computers. All this up to 5 gigahertz and up to 7 gigahertz, I don't care about what you can get throttling. What's the base speed? When I get a computer, and what's happening today is because of this puffery, people are going out and buying new computers. They're taking their old computer and doing probably throwing it in the garbage or putting it up in the closet. It might have been more machine that you're getting rid of. It really is to that point. And if you have an SSD drive in there or the new NVMe, the really fast drives, which you can make run with almost every computer today, that would be a tremendous advantage. Maybe add to the memory. You could set these things up so they'll run and run and run. And I just don't care for sales puffery when it gets to the point where it is borderline deceiving.
Yeah.
I just don't care for that.
All right, quick break. We have more Tech Talk on the way with Doug, and we will come back here on Tech Talk. The number again, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Josh Wheeler is our producer. If you call, you'll visit with him. He'll put you through, or you can text the studio, and you'll get right through to Doug and yours truly. We'll have the weather in a moment. More Tech Talk here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swin, the heart aboard through 4 o'clock. All the news and weather at 4. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, an update on the start of the firearms deer season today. Jez Myers, who covers the wild now for the Pioneer Press, he bagged a buck in northern Minnesota, sent me the photo to prove it. So good luck and safe hunt to all the hunters out there today. Doug, lot to get to and a very busy talk and text line today. And you still have time if you want to visit with him, 651-461-9226. We talked about uninterrupted power supplies, Doug, right out of the gate. And from the text line, you guys should call out Cyber Power Systems, based right here in Shakopee since 1996, one of the largest global suppliers and a true manufacturer of UPS, PDUs, and surge protectors. And thanks to Tim for that text. A lot of great equipment out there, and a shout-out to a local firm for sure.
Cyber Power has come a long way over the years. I probably should mention them, too. They are probably the main competitor for APC. And in addition, APC has sold out to some other people, and I can foresee some changes coming. So by all means, buy local.
Yeah. From our text line, we've talked about Starlink. Those are the low-level satellites launched by Elon Musk on the Falcon 9 rockets. Eventually, Starship will be launching larger satellites and more of them to support this network, and they're low-level satellites orbiting the Earth. And what they're wondering is they're considering going with Starlink for Internet service. Is it stable? From what I've heard and everybody using it, that it's been pretty good. Remember, though, you've got to buy equipment up front, and it's about $100 a month, maybe a little bit more, depending on where you live. This is kind of a supply and demand thing. Where they have more users, you're going to pay more. Where they have fewer users and more availability, if you will, the price has come down. But I don't know what your thoughts are. I would think particularly where you don't have the ability to get fiber or wired internet, this could be a good option.
Yeah, it is, but I'm glad that you mentioned the upfront cost, because that can be really, really prohibitive. Also, they've got several levels of the Starlink, and the business one is pretty expensive, but that one's running rock solid, stable, and fast. And I'm actually tempted to see if I can get a hold of them and find out what it would cost if we did the whole town hall association. That I would like to try that, because that would take one of their larger units, and then but once it's paid for, it's up front, your monthly is really quite low. So it's there's some advantages and some disadvantages. I think if I had the ability to get fiber optics or Xfinity, something high speed, I would wait. You'd have to have an awful good reason for me to jump onto that, and especially with some of the mobile carriers. These hotspots from T-Mobile and Verizon and AT&T and all the rest of the carriers, they're incredible.
Yeah.
This home internet that's coming in for $50 a month, it's mind-boggling what you're getting for that kind of money.
And I should mention, I want to jump in there and tell you, I have T-Mobile home internet. Mm-hmm. I got the little appliance, and we use it as a backup because I do some work from home. My wife does some work from home, and our youngest daughter still lives at home, and she works full-time at home. She does go into the office here and there, but if for whatever reason the modem goes down, she needs a backup. So for $25 a month, we got this, and it's been pretty good. I got a recommendation from my cousin who lives down in Invergrove Heights, and he uses it full-time for his home internet, and he loves it. But we've just been using it. We bought the backup service. $25 a month. They threw in the hardware. Trained up right away. It works pretty good. I'm pretty pleased. And that's, once again, 5G cellular service serving that appliance. And then, of course, it creates a local Wi-Fi network for your house. Or you can hardwire into it if you so choose. You don't have to. I've been pretty pleased with it, and that is a good option as well. And once again, they threw in the equipment. It's $25 a month. That's it. No contract.
Right. Yeah, see, that's huge, the no contract. And you know, Steve, what popped up here coming out, I'm surprised at this, but there are YouTubes that are popping up where, say, for example, you're in an area and you're so close to getting fiber optics, you're 400 feet away. There's YouTubes where people are actually laying their own fiber to their house, and they're doing it inexpensively. They go to a rental store and get these little augers, and away you go. So there's things available today that wasn't available even 5 years ago. Just do some research. You'll get there.
Yeah, there are a tremendous amount of options for home internet. Mm-hmm. But as we pointed out before about Starlink, HughesNet's been around longer. If you live in a rural area, live out in the country, have a lake cabin, etc., I think it would be a phenomenal option. But remember, you buy the equipment up front for all of that. Here's one. Prevazor has come up. I'm using Prevazor, and for the last month, a couple of times a week, it says, do you want to update? I click yes, but it does not go into update mode. What could be going on there?
Oh, that's strange. I would ask that person if he's got a donor version or if he's got the free version. If he's got the free version, he's probably going to have to just download a new one and install it. Just remove the first one and reinstall the second one, and it'll just be that simple. But if he's got a donor version, that I've never seen that fail. So I'm thinking he's probably just got one that maybe he doesn't have it registered. It should work. It really should. So. But if that's a problem, just give me a call next week. I can probably get you taken care of there in 5-10 minutes at the most.
Here's a good one. I am building an unheated three-season porch. What should I do in the winter months with my big-screen TV? obviously no rain or snow will get in there. Can you leave that unit in there over the long, hard winter? The big deal is the rain and snow. Right. If it's dry, I wouldn't be too concerned about leaving that TV out there on the porch in the cold winter months. I would be tempted to take it down and bring it inside, but I don't think it would do harm. But that, I think, is something you'd want to check with the manufacturer and find out for sure. Talk to someone and say, hey, can I leave this thing outside if it's protected from the rain and the snow?
I don't think it'd be a problem. You know, the big thing with digital equipment is, of course, the microprocessors, the microchips. Heat is much more damaging than cold. It just so happens, Steve, that I lived in an apartment that had a three-season porch, and that's where my office was. And unless it got down to like 10 below or more, I could actually work in there pretty comfortable with a sweater and socks. But I had a little floor heater, too. I mean, there's things that you can do to take advantage of that three-season porch, and it should work. Big thing is it's got to be fully enclosed, windows, the whole nine yards like that. But even my townhouse, no. My office is, it's all windows. It might as well be a three-season porch. It's a little bit cooler, but I leave the French doors open, and it's just a little bit cooler. I don't think that's going to hurt the equipment unless you get down to 40 and it starts to create condensation. That's bad. If you get moisture in there, that's not good.
Yeah, I just think it, as long as the rain and snow isn't getting at it,
you
should be okay. But once again, I would check on that. If it's going to sit, you know, for 3 months out in the cold in an unheated space, is that a bad thing? I highly doubt it. That it would be a problem. Highly doubt.
No, I agree. But if it got down to real cold, I would. The equipment's just too expensive. If you want it to last a while, bring it in. Just bring it in.
All right. I want to jump back to that Pervasor thing before the break. And this came up earlier with a printer and completely uninstalling a printer and reinstalling for the woman that was having the trouble with the little Canon printer. What program do you recommend to do that uninstall, to make sure you get everything and you can do a fresh install of a program or a printer?
Well, as you know, Steve, Riva One Installer was my favorite for years and years and years. But then I stumbled across this one that's Geek Uninstaller, G-E-E-K Uninstaller. And the gentleman that wrote this program is a Minnesotan. He lives up north someplace. And I love this program. You can get the free version or you can buy it. If you use it as much as I do, pay the $20 and get yourself a license. It's just wonderful. Does everything that Revo used to do, and I think it's easier to run and it seems to be faster. I really like this program, and it's Geek Uninstaller. And you get that and it's going to take out all of the remnants and particles. It does a great job. That would be my recommendation.
All right, Geek Uninstaller is the recommendation. We're going to take a break and come back more on our text line. By the way, if you want to join the program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Doug here until 4 o'clock on News Talk 830-WCCO. Rain moving into the city's final segment of Tech Talk. We have all the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then a big update on high school sports. State football playoffs, quarterfinal action Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The semifinals move indoors next week at U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll take a look at that coming up. State volleyball championship Saturday at the Xcel Energy Center. But first, more Tech Talk with Doug. Doug, here is a very good one. I have a Windows 11 computer, and I would assume a lot of people are in the same boat. What do you recommend at the moment for antivirus? What should people be doing?
Oh, I'm really kind of high on Bitdefender lately, and that has to do with price and number of units that you can get when you buy it. And it's really, really clean. It runs in the background, uses very little resources, and that's what you're looking for in any malware or antivirus program, is something that will do its job and do it really, really inconspicuously, so to speak. just be there and do your thing and let the good times roll. And the pricing has been phenomenal. Of course, we can't get away from mentioning Malwarebytes. For what they've done for the industry over the years, it's just phenomenal. And it's still a very, very good product. And I highly recommend it. And, of course, ESET ENOD 32, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. A little bit more pricey, but it's a great program. Any one of those three, you cannot go wrong, no matter what.
All right.
But Bitdefender, you're covering your phones, your computers, all the digital stuff.
Oh, what about Defender? It comes on board with Windows 11. For a lot of users, is that okay?
I think so. It depends on what you're using your computer for. If you're just like you and I, where we don't go to gambling sites and we don't do a lot of porn anymore, it should suffice. But my problem with Defender is it just hasn't been consistent over the years, and it will come up with false reads based on what's better for Microsoft many times, and I don't care for that either. If you're going to have an antivirus or a malware program, get an independent. You'll be much better off. Or you could do what I normally recommend and say, just get a Linux machine. You can forget about all of it then.
Yeah. Doug, follow-up to that from our text line. Back during COVID, rebuilt four Dell computers. All four computers were upgrades, none of which are Windows 11 compatible. Windows 10 goes away, what, in about a year?
Maybe a little. 2025, yep.
Yeah. What should I do?
Well, you know, a couple things to think about here. First of all, when Microsoft stops supporting Windows 10, you don't have to quit using it. You really don't. It's going to be much safer and much more secure than several of the past ones. I'm still hoping that Microsoft comes to some reasoning and says, we're going to re-release XP worldwide. I really hope they do that. I know that they're getting emails every day from techs that say, hey, you know, bring it back. You know what? Bring it back. We'll pay an update fee. They're encouraging this. And I don't think Microsoft hears that too often from their customers. We're willing to pay. They just don't hear it. With XP, they have been hearing it. So I'm hoping they'll reconsider this decision. Now, in addition to that, there is a plethora of information on the internet how you can bypass that on nearly every computer. And I know Microsoft says, oh, that's illegal. Well, you know, maybe it should be illegal that you're putting restrictions on the hardware that I got to have. The only reason you got to have new hardware is the operating system. No other reason. I just don't see it. And so it's a self-correction thing, but there's YouTubes. There's just a ton of information where people, as soon as Microsoft does something to prevent it, two, three days later, somebody cracks it. It's that fast. People will self-correct if they feel that your actions are unjust. And I think in this case, they are. So there's ways around it. There really is. And I hope that helps.
All right. Very good, Doug. We've got to run. We're out of time. We have all the news and weather on the way at 4 o'clock. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. How do people reach you during the week? What is your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, Doug, have a great week. Always good to visit with you. There he is, Doug Swinhart. It is Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4. And don't forget, the podcast available at WCCORadio.com. Check it out, WCCORadio Tech Talk. If you missed part of the program, check out our older shows. They are certainly good content for you computer users.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated.
where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's out there. The news and the weather in a moment here on CCO.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.